HBO Max production card. In the dark of night, torches blaze from a horse-drawn coach as a convoy of knights on horseback lead the way through a misty forest. The mounted escort crosses a bridge at the foot of a stone castle, its windows dimly lit in the bluish haze. Our view rises above the convoy, which boasts one last pair of knights guarding the rear of a second carriage. In a dark chamber with vaulted ceilings, a woman with brown coiffed hair and a low-cut bodice covers her mouth in alarm, listening to the bells. Servants scuttle past her, rushing in and out of adjoining rooms. She whirls around, and her expression breaks as she stumbles her way past guards, servants, and ornate candelabras. Passing through a high doorway, she stops short amid a group of richly dressed men and women. They're gathered around the body of a man lying stiff on the floor. She looks down at him with an unreadable expression. A wispy beard graces the dead man's chin, and his bright eyes gaze piercingly at the ceiling. An older man and woman clothed in regal finery stare down at the younger man's corpse. A dark look passes between those gathered around the fallen man's body. A pair of men, one with shoulder-length gray hair, kneels before the body, their hands on its chest. The woman, standing apart from the others in her white gown, gazes past the gray-haired aristocrat at a tall mirror in the corner of the bedchamber. As our view moves closer, a shadowy reflection of the woman fades in, now dressed in black. A red-lit close-up flashes of the woman in the mirror. Wearing smudged black makeup with her hair hanging loose around her shoulders, she faces the woman in white, who slowly raises her right hand to match the mirror's movements. Our view gazes out from within the mirror, as both women wave their hands in a hypnotic gesture past their own expressionless faces. The courtiers and nobles trade tense looks as the woman in white slowly turns, studying her reflection. The older woman in regal dress glowers from the corners of her eyes. In the mirror, the red-lit woman steps away, floating past the mirror's frame and out of view. The woman in white turns her look from the empty mirror down to the man's body. The gray-haired aristocrat joins the silent chorus of scowling figures surrounding the woman. Step by step, the woman backs away. Then, turning sharply, she hurries out. Daytime in a courtyard. Snow drifts down over the woman in white. Her eyes flicker, and she turns her face up to the sky.
Don't call me by my name. All of this is temporary.
The aristocrat writes on a scroll bearing the name King Gobel.
This woman will not go quietly. She has already made that clear.
He scowls down at a portrait of the woman, Queen Lila, alongside King Gobel on the scroll. Then he stabs it.
Secondhand bird in a secondhand bed with a second man's head.
Seated on a gleaming metal throne, Lila wears heavy white makeup with black eyeliner and lipstick.
Better off dead, so I reckon I'm headed to hell instead.
She stares calmly ahead as female servants dress her in long black gloves and earrings to match her pitch black dress.
Jesus needed a 3-day weekend to sort out all his bullshit, figure out the treason. I've been searching for a fortified defense, fortified reasons. But Jesus, you've got better lips than Judas. I could keep your bed warm, otherwise I'm useless. I don't really mean it, cause who the fuck would choose this?
Secondhand bed in a secondhand bed with a second man's head. The servants adorn her with jewelry, then lead her down a carpeted walkway flanked by servants with bowed heads.
Not a happy ending. Don't wait for me, don't wait for me, wait. It's not a happy ending. Don't wait for me, don't wait for me, wait.
Lila steps somberly onto a balcony as red and gold lights pulse like the flickering of distant flames. A red banner with an elaborate golden crest hangs from the balcony as Lila gazes out.
All of this is temporary.
A staggered title appears over black. If I can't have love, I want power. In a pine forest, mourners gather around King Gobel's casket.
So we may look past our grief and focus on the life and achievements of our beloved king. Though our noble father has been released from this mortal coil, cast back into the mercurial waters from which all things rise and stand courageous.
Wearing a dark veil, Queen Lila glances off, rolling her eyes slightly. The older woman, in a headdress of black frills, glares at Lila, then lowers her eyes in sorrow.
Well, I won't die for love, but I've got a body here to bury. And if truth be told, it's scary, 'cause my shoulders are heavy already. And yeah, I know the parts of myself that I've hated, and I can't tell which ones are mine and which I created.
As mourners drop flowers into Gobel's casket, Lila turns to the older woman and draws up her sleeve, revealing an unhealed bruise on her wrist. Then, in a flashback with the king,
I would break it for you.
I have given you everything!
You have given me nothing but a lifetime of misery!
I will teach you some respect!
He chokes her, then punches her to the floor.
My tongue is a vessel. I try to be careful with the thing inside my chest. You shoot for the memory.
An overhead view of the funeral shows the king with coins over his eyes. In the flashback, she lies on the floor in tears.
Don't leave me in the shape you left me.
Now, the castle stands amid dark woods. Snowy mountains rise in the distance beneath a sky of pink clouds as our view moves in toward the soaring towers. Cut to black. In a dim, candlelit bedchamber, Lila flounces past the drawn blue curtains surrounding her bed. Wearing black lingerie, she collapses face down atop her sheets. She rolls over onto her back, the glow of the candles playing softly over her tattooed arms and legs. An overhead view watches as she writhes sensually among tasseled pillows and floral bedding. A candelabra burns behind a corner of stone masonry. Another set of candles flickers beside a blue-lit mullioned window. Suddenly, the window blows open, extinguishing the candles with a gust of air. A lock on the wrought iron door clangs shut, and the hands of a clock whirl. A curly-haired woman appears by the bed. Backlit by a reddish glow, the curly-haired woman advances steadily as Lila claws the air with long, bejeweled nails. The bed's curtains flutter as Lila lets out gasps of pleasure. The visiting woman runs her hands up Lila's bare thighs. A close-up reveals her as Lila's black-clad reflection from the mirror. Lila moans and grits her teeth as the woman caresses Lila's chest and arm, then runs her black-gloved fingers down Lila's face. The view strobes in and out as the woman straddles Lila. Then she plunges her hand through Lila's belly. As the woman pushes her fingers deeper, a line of drool falls from her open mouth. She watches as Lila cries out in agony. Cut to black. Morning. Lila's eyes open, and she bolts upright in bed. She retrieves a handful of seeds from her vanity, then hikes up her gown and relieves herself over a nest of twigs at her feet.
Well, I'm perfection when it comes to first impressions. But I romanticize and then I get to stressing. A big brain like I'm teaching it a lesson. Baby, it's a blessing, yeah. You got me thinking that it was too mean. Well, everything that I say, I believe.
She goes to a mirror and runs a hand down her belly.
Reason for nothing, I am disruptive. I've been corrupted. But I know I don't need a fucking introduction. I've been gone, cause I've been on this road too long. You know I get too caught up in the moment. I can't call it love if I show it. I just fuck things up if you notice. Have you noticed? Tell me, have you noticed?
In a bathhouse, Lila struts past handmaidens wearing a sheer gown. The servants disrobe her, then follow her naked into the water. The women encircle her, their hands joined as she stares at the ceiling.
Now I'm wondering if I ever wanted to hold you. It never mattered if I owned you. Cause you'd let anybody with a body control you. And you know it too. You got me feeling like I've been too mean. And everything that I say I believe. Tuck a knife with my heart up my sleeve. And fuck like a demon. Do it like nothing. I am disgusting. I've been corrupted. And by now I don't need no help to be destructive. I've been gone. Yeah, I've been on this road too long. You know I get too caught up in a moment. I can't call it love if I show it. I just fuck things up if you notice. Have you noticed? Tell me, have you noticed? I get too caught up in the moment. I can't fall in love cause I'm focused. I just fuck things up.
Now out of the bath, her servants wrap her in a blanket. As she catches her reflection in a mirror, she hallucinates a pair of dark hands dragging across her stomach. Turning from the mirror, she sees her servants lined up in two rows, making a passage between them. She pulls the blanket around herself, folding her hands over her chest as she stands beside them, a pensive look clouding her face. She walks off in the opposite direction of her servants, her eyes shifting. Cut to black. The brick red roofs of the castle stand out amidst dark forests and green pastures. Then, a light snow dots the black fur coat of a grim-faced official with a shaved head. The eyes of the gray-haired aristocrat shift connivingly as he stands beside the older woman and other well-dressed figures. Their eyes remain fixed on something in the distance. In a green field, a group of elegantly dressed young women lie back on colorful blankets. Queen Lila lies among them, laughing gleefully with dyed hair and white makeup. The aristocrat watches with cold hatred as the women toast with wine glasses and frolic. Lila and her friends drink champagne from bottles beneath a fireworks display. Then they run through a marketplace in the castle courtyard.
Your daydream, I won't have your baby stop, 'cause you're killing my vibe.
After wreaking havoc in the market, Lila leads her entourage on horseback through the woods. She leaves them behind, galloping deeper into the forest. Cresting the incline of a rocky hill, Lila's horse rears back, throwing her. With her hair piled high atop her head in purple and green highlights, she gazes out at the mountains, bobbing tipsily. She turns her back to the mountains, revealing a sheer cliff behind her. In a forest, a low fog bank hangs over the mossy ground as Queen Lila treks past fallen trees in her turquoise ball gown. She stumbles, catching herself on a tree stump, then continues on. An owl spreads its wings in a sudden close-up. Meandering drunkenly through the greenish air of the woods, the queen continues on alone. She stops, wavering unsteadily, as she notices a small cottage made of tree branches with a slanted straw roof. An orange light glows from within the rough wooden dwelling. Lila starts toward it. She passes mounds of sticks and hay as she approaches, her clothes and hair disheveled. Inside, thick candles burn on a wooden mantle which supports several small sacks. Entering cautiously, Lila shuts the door behind her. She peers around the humble interior of the cottage. Wooden spoons and dried herbs hang above a fireplace, where a wide cauldron covers the flickering fire. Simple wooden plates and cups are stacked in a cupboard, and more sacks hang from the walls. Our view moves past a low bed, baskets of bundled grasses, and pine cones hanging from the cross-hatched walls of thick branches. Making a full circle, we return to Lila, who shuts her eyes in the quiet glow of the isolated cottage. Lila whirls to find a woman with unkempt dreadlocks standing in the shadows. She watches as the silent woman kneels down.
Hi. Hello?
The woman looks up, revealing opaque white eyes. Her eyeballs twitch, as if searching Lila's face. The woman reaches up with tattooed arms to caress Lila's gown. The queen remains frozen, watching the blind woman at her feet. Lila blinks, her white-painted face still and unmoving. The woman rises to her feet, her hands trailing over Lila's bare shoulder. Then she circles around behind her to slide her hands around the queen's waist. Lila flinches, but remains where she is. A pale beam of light falls across the blind woman's face as she holds Lila, listening and searching the air around them. Both women begin to breathe in unison. Lila's face contorts with pain and effort. Lila bolts out, leaving the blind woman gazing after her. Night, on the stone steps of the castle, Lila finds her friends sprawled out asleep before two armored guards. She plucks a bottle from one of her sleeping friend's hands, then makes her way inside. A decanter of wine and a bowl of fruit wait on a table in her room. Lila wipes her cheek, then freezes. The nest where she sprinkled the seeds has sprung tiny green seedlings from the dried twigs. Her face crumpling, she hurls the empty bottle. Weeping, Lila leans against the doorway to her bedchamber. She gazes in toward the bed, then slowly makes her way inside, rolling her head back in distress. She wipes an eye with her white gloved hand, then steps up to the canopied bed. She gazes down helplessly, touching the ribbon on the front of her dress. Letting go, she collapses forward to kneel beside the bed and rest her head on the mattress. Outside, a view of her window pulls back to reveal a high yellow tower with a conical roof of terracotta rising above the landscape. Text appears over Lila as she lies in bed, dressed in a white gown. 3 months. A pair of handmaids, one at her feet and the other at her arm, tug and push at her white shoe and billowing sleeve, as she lies despondent and unmoving. The handmaids trade a concerned look, and the view pans toward rays of bright daylight streaming through the window. Now Lila, her belly grown plump, slumps back against a tapestry. She slides down to a heap of pillows and silk sheets covering the stone floor. 4 months. She swigs deeply from a green bottle. Then, gagging, she leans over and vomits red.
From a tender age, I was cursed with rage. Came swinging like a fist inside a batting cage. I went swimming with the devil at the bottom of a lake, and he left me there by my lonesome.
He 5 months. Lila wears an elaborate floral dress as she gazes out from the castle ramparts.
But my tongue was in my teeth. I couldn't find the floor, so I was kicking with my feet. But they weren't there. They were stolen. There is a lighthouse in the middle of the deep, and I'm still stranded on the shoreline. Nobody hears me scream, and I will lure you like a landslide, and I'll show you lovely things if you
6 months. With red symbols painted on her forehead, Lila lies on a rotating platform surrounded by undulating handmaids.
I met a sailor on a ship with promise in his eyes. He kissed me on the mouth and dug his fingers in my thighs. But a sailor ain't a savior, cause they only tell you lies. So I left him there till the sunrise. Well, the waves were tall and they were crashing down. He's laying in the water begging God to let him down. So I showed him all my teeth and then I laughed out loud. Cause I never wanted saving, I just wanted to be found dead.
7 months. In a bathtub, Lila lets her pregnant belly float up above the water. Smiling, she walks her fingers across the dome of her midsection, which is tattooed with the word baby.
Nobody hears me scream, and I will lure you like a landslide, and I'll show you lovely things if you rescue me. But they'll make believe in the lighthouse by the sea.
8 months. In the courtyard, Lila watches a young woman seated with a lover on the back of a stalled carriage. They flirt and laugh, then as the carriage starts off, the woman catches Lila's gaze and frowns. Lila stands alone. 9 months. In a court, Queen Lila stands before the aristocrat.
Since the departing of our king, you have revealed your most unbecoming nature. Gallivanting about with those harlot friends of yours. As his widow, you have a responsibility to conduct yourself with dignity and honor. Yet you walk with the widened gait of a whore.
As your queen, I am allowed to behave in any way that I see fit. Or must I remind you that this widening gait once enveloped and devoured the man that you call your king?
I see no queen. I see a filthy child dressed up in the trappings of a title into which she was not born. Your wicked tongue makes light of the whispers which would place a bounty on any other head.
Can't a queen mourn the loss of her beloved king in any way that she'd like?
You have maintained your innocence from the start, and you were allowed that innocence as a way to placate the public perceptions as we investigated the murder of our king. I and others are beginning to suspect that these may not be just rumors.
Oh, okay. So then you'll let townsfolk be the judge, jury, and executioner of a queen? You let the gossiping of peasants determine a queen's fate?
Does the royal blood flow through your veins? Are you in the direct lineage of rulers? No. Our beloved king has departed, and your title along with it. All I see is a common widow.
Make no mistake. The blood with which my veins carry may be common, but the child in my womb is all that remains of your royal blood and all that remains of your king.
If the child you carry, the rightful heir to this throne, is a boy, then the court shall raise him up to be an honorable king like his father before him. If a boy it is not, it will be tossed into the sea. Regardless of the child's fate, you have defiled our court, besmirched the crown, and you will be executed for your treason and wickedness. You brought this upon yourself. Now go and make yourself useful.
Furious, Lila hurls her cape to the floor. She pulls off decorative gloves and rips the diamond necklace from around her neck as she storms out of the court. Now in a darkened passageway, she pushes herself free of her royal gown. Naked of everything but a pair of diamond earrings and her crown, Lila climbs a set of stone steps into bright daylight. Then, no longer wearing her crown, she follows a winding pathway between trees. With teardrops painted in white beneath her eyes, she gazes out across the misty waters of a lake. She walks out into the water until completely submerged. Bubbles trail upward from her nose and mouth. She lifts her arms in the water, a shaft of light holding her suspended as she brings a hand to her rounded belly. Her womb heaves beneath her skin. Lila swims toward the surface. Handmaids rush to her with blankets. Nighttime in the queen's bedchamber. A trail of wet footprints leads down the raised stone platform away from the empty bed, across a decorative rug, and out the open doorway. An off-kilter view captures the queen in her nightgown as she makes her way down the torch-lit bridge leading away from the castle. She stumbles but catches herself, gripping her pregnant belly. In his chambers, the aristocrat drinks wine as a handmaid enters.
Sir? She's gone.
What do you mean, gone?
She's not there.
Leading a column of torch-wielding knights on horseback, the aristocrat gallops across the bridge in pursuit. Meanwhile, Lila runs through the dark forest, one hand cupping her belly. Lila falls to her knees, and the owl swoops over her. Then she runs on.
My heart is massive, but it's empty. A permanent part of me, that innocent artery, is gasping for some real attention. Some undivided hypertension. Tell it quiet down, you're being loud, but it beats harder every time you come around. But do you love the sound?
The aristocrat and his knights stalk through the woods on foot, their torches blazing. The owl perches on the blind woman's cottage. As Lila staggers into the doorway, the woman clutches her arm and leads her inside. She rubs Lila's back to calm her as Lila crouches on the floor. Outside, soldiers scan the darkened forest. Seated on the floor and facing the blind woman, Lila breathes along with her. A soldier swings his torch through the air. Lila lets her head hang back, straining through the contractions. As beads of sweat appear on Lila's face, the blind woman runs a finger down her cheek. A pestle slams down on a stone, crushing it into orange powder. At a table, Lila stirs the powder into a jug of liquid, then pours the mixture in a bottle and extinguishes a candle. In the cottage, Lila's double stands tall behind them. Now in the flashback, King Gobel saunters up behind Lila as she regards herself and her double's reflection in a tall mirror. The king drags Lila backwards across the floor by her hair. Then she lies on the bed, and he swigs from the bottle of poisoned wine. The blind woman lifts a pair of bloodied fingers from Lila. Gobel runs his fingers between her breasts. Lila's eyes roll back as she pushes and strains in the cottage. Throwing open Lila's legs, the king falls on top of her. She grimaces, and then he rises to his feet. In the cottage, her features form the same grimace. Gobel chokes and sways. Losing his balance, he falls onto his back, his body racked with spasms. The king's body goes still. Still lying on the bed, Lila's red mouth breaks into a grin. As the aristocrat leads his soldiers to the cottage, the blind woman swaddles a blood-stained infant and hands it to Lila. Lila eats her placenta as the blind woman rocks the baby. Outside, soldiers set torches to the walls, and the cottage goes up in flames. Soldiers drag Lila from the cottage, then drape her over a horse as the aristocrat holds her baby. Staring at the flames, she passes out. In the inferno of the blazing cottage, a close-up shows the tangled dreadlocks of Lila's midwife, untouched by the flames as she stands perfectly still. In a dingy stone dungeon, Lila sits with her head bowed. An arched doorway looks out onto a desolate stone pathway. Bruised and dirtied, she lets her gaze linger on the blanket which had swaddled her baby. A rusty cell door swings open, and she looks up. Lila uses the stone wall behind her as support as she pushes herself to her feet. Blood stains the front of her white gown. She moves warily toward the harsh light spilling down the stairs. At the top of the steps, knights lie dead on the straw-littered floor, blood pooling beneath their steel helmets. Lila makes her way up a second set of stairs, passing the bodies of more soldiers with a look of numb disinterest. She approaches a bright, open doorway. A view travels down a walkway atop the castle's battlements. Then Lila rounds a corner into an expansive hall, where two more soldiers lie dead. Her bare feet pace down a long, decorative carpet as she glances to a banner on the wall. It depicts ghosts surrounding a nude pregnant woman supported by another figure with black dreadlocks. As handmaids set flowers in vases, one of them notices Queen Lila and hurries into the next room. They watch as Lila approaches a cradle with a sleeping baby inside. She lifts the infant in her arms. The handmaids watch with soft smiles as Lila sways with the child. Her mouth parts in relief and gratitude. She lifts her eyes from the baby, and fear flashes across her face. Lila stands naked as handmaids groom her. Every day I got a smile when my frown goes. A couple bodies in a garden where the grass grows. I take them with me to the grave in a suitcase. Maybe I could be a different human in a new place. Whoa. The aristocrat watches from a balcony as soldiers erect a guillotine. Standing from her throne, a made-up Lila takes her baby and looks out from her balcony. Every morning gotta holler where my heart goes. I never listen, but I see it with my eyes closed. I know you, I remember from the grass stain. Maybe I could be a better human with a new name. Oh, I just wanna feel something, tell me where to go. The aristocrat and other nobles watch with trepidation as Lila carries her swaddled infant out amidst the crowd awaiting her execution. She steps up to the guillotine, then hands the child off to a handmaid. Guards take her arms and lead her to the guillotine. She pulls away from the guards, then kneels and lets them fit the wooden brace over her neck. She lifts her head, and a wicked smile curls her lips. Really can't remember where I left my spine. Carrying my body in a bag for dimes. Hidden in the pages of the New York Times at home. Lila holds her baby. Maybe I'll be better if I take my meds. Ain't a doubleheader if you lose your head. Try the medication that I bought instead. It's working for a little, but there's not much left. Darling, don't you weep. There's a place for me Now she picnics with a long-haired toddler, both of them clad in white.
See you in your dreams. Ever since a little girl I found this sweet, driving past a graveyard on a lonesome street. All the little flowers gave me something to believe in.
She leads the child, now a few years older, to a white horse in the woods.
Been a couple years of living on the road. Couldn't really tell you where they'd leave a stone to visit me when I am dead and gone. Darling, don't you weep. There's a place for me somewhere we can sleep. Only you have shown me how to love being alive.
She nuzzles her baby sweetly. Then, still bound in the guillotine, Lila begins to laugh, her black ringed eyes and lips boldly accented on her white painted face. The executioner lifts his axe and brings it down, cutting a rope. The blade drops and Lila's head falls out of sight. A close-up shows the infant's face. Another version of Lila, dressed in red with a crown of golden crosses radiating from her ghostly face, stands in the courtyard, her arms outstretched. Our view pulls back from the frozen tableau of soldiers, peasants, and nobles gathered around the site of the execution. Cut to black.
I get undertones of sadness when I think about the moments that I never got to spend with you.
Credits appear as the Lila from the mirror steps through the empty castle halls at dusk.
I love you more at night with its luminous lux tides. Maybe in the daylight, all its pretty madness and the complicated status, cause the moon don't pick sides.
Directed by Colin Tilley, written by Halsey. Executive producers Halsey, Jamie Ronta, Anthony Lee, Colin Tilley. Produced by Jamie Ronta, Boy in the Castle, Lita Ordnungova, Still King, Capitol Records. Starring Halsey, co-starring Sasha Lane. An album and film experience by Halsey. Album produced by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. More credits appear. The body of the aristocrat lies dead, while Lila faces a mirror streaked with blood beside him. Lila holds up her gleaming crown.
Before I bury you. There's danger in confession, or it's memory that presses like a blade against my throat. Another word and I could choke. But what's worse, telling you my feelings, or to die without revealing that you crawled inside my head and set a fire there instead, letting all my insecurity devour me with certainty.
Text appears as Lila strides in her crown and black dress through the courtyard. For Alev Aiden and our greatest era of all.
Take my soul, wrap me in a wedding ring. You know I swear I'd give you anything.
The staggered title appears over black. If I can't have love, I want power. More credits roll. Audio description created by Caption Max, written by Ryan Buell and Brian Gebhardt, and narrated by Olivia Willis.
One day we'll trade places. Don't